Hey, North Boulevard, good morning. It's a good morning for us to be here. I want to say good morning to all of our guests, whether you are in person or whether you're watching online from somewhere around the world. Special good morning and welcome to our college students and college-age students who are in our midst this morning. When you walked in North Boulevard, you probably found one of these things in your seat. What these are, prayer request cards from some of our college and college-age students. They have written out what was on their heart as a prayer request. I'm inviting you to take one of these with you, or multiple copies of this with you, and make it a point to say a prayer for a student throughout this year, throughout this school year, and let's see what God can do. The one I happen to have is that of Zach. And so Zach, who was up here on stage with the praise team a little bit earlier, you are my person that I'm praying for. So we expect blessings upon blessings to happen for Zach this year. Amen. But I'm also going to invite you, being that today is Ignite a Student Sunday, our college ministry's planning a fall retreat, both for guys and girls throughout, or sometime this fall. I think it's in October. And if you've ever been in college, you realize that retreats cost money, and when you're in college, you sometimes don't have the money to pay for the retreat. So this is where you come in to play. Church, you can help sponsor one or two or more college students to be able to attend these spiritual retreats that we have planned for them this October. And you can donate toward that by purchasing one of these wonderful Ignite t-shirts. It's the t-shirt for the year. Suggested donations, about $20, and you can see, I think the Lambs were out there in the lobby earlier today, and you can see them after service this morning, and get yourself an exclusive Ignite t-shirt for the suggested, the strongly suggested price of $20. Amen. But today, this moment, we have the opportunity to close out our series that we have been in for the past 4 weeks, a series called Fearless. It's where we have been studying the Word of God and looking at God's Word to give us a strategy to deal with our fear. We don't become fearless overnight, but we become fearless by learning how to fear less and less day by day and moment by moment. And all that's important because of what fear does to us. Fear, it stops us from being all that God has called us to be. It stops you from being the person that you really want to be. So week by week, over the past number of weeks, we've been seeking to learn from God's Word how to be who God has called us to be by dealing with the fear that often invades our life. Life throws fear at us. And we can't often control what life throws at us, but we can control how we respond to the fear. And one of the ways that we've learned to respond to the fear is through our focus. In week number one, we learned how to focus on the power of God. So to fear less, we focus on God's power. But in week number two, we studied the Sermon on the Mount, and we learned how to focus on God's provision. So we ended up saying we fear less by focusing on God's provision. And then last week, we looked at the very presence of the Lord in our lives. So to fear less, we focus on God's presence. But today we're going to put them all together, and I need to introduce you to one more thing that demands our focus if indeed we are going to fear less. And to fear less, today I want to show you that we need to focus on God's protection. God has protected us, not from every single harm, but He has given us protection that allows us to fear less, given us protection over what life throws at you that causes you to become paralyzed by your fear. Through the study of God's Word today, I'm going to show you that God has surrounded us with the protection that we need to fear less and less day by day and moment by moment. He surrounded you with so much that by the time you walk out of here today, God willing, you're going to see that you're not just surrounded by a little bit of stuff, you're surrounded by more and more. More of His power, more of His provision, more of His presence, more of His protection than your mind could even imagine. So as we conclude this series, Fear Less, we're going to call this fourth and final installment, we're going to call it Surrounded by More. And I want you to meet me in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verses 8 through 23 will be where we hear from God this morning, the book of 2 Kings. So go ahead and grab a Bible and meet me there. We're going to study this verse by verse. For those who might be new, there will be some other scriptures that I put and we flash on the screen along with some other statements, but we're going to stay tethered to the Word of God. I need you to hear from God's Word today. But we're going to pray that God blesses our time in His Word. So let's pray and ask Him to surround us with His blessing, surround us with His voice this morning. Pray with me, please. Lord, thank You. Thank You for blessing us with yet another day. Thank You for blessing us with yet another opportunity to hear from You. And Lord, we pray that You would speak. And as You speak, that You would show us how to fear less. And as You speak and show us how to fear less, show us the protection that You've surrounded us with. Fear has already invaded the life of someone in this audience or someone online. And if it hasn't, fear will try to invade the lives of someone in this audience or online later today or maybe later this week. But dear God, open our eyes. Show us that we're surrounded by more protection from You than we could ever imagine. Let Your Holy Spirit have His way right now, Lord. And may You be glorified by the words that we hear and by the words that we preach. In the name of Jesus, let us all say amen. Surrounded by more. Let me take you into this book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings is a book that is part of a larger biblical chronicle of the history of the divided kingdom of Israel following the death of David's son, King Solomon. When you read 2 Kings, you quickly learn that it not only tells us about this northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, but it also tells us about the people who were ruling those nations, the kings. It tells you about the kings, the persistent sin of these nations, and the neighboring nations that often pose a problem to Israel and to Judah. But the name Kings is actually a misnomer because we learn more than just about the life and times of these kings, but we also learn of the life and times of prophets of God. The prophets serve to reveal the Word of God to Israel and to Judah. They served as ones who would speak a wisdom or a wise word into a very chaotic and fearful time. But the prophet whose ministry seemed to dominate the book of 2 Kings is the prophet whose name was Elisha. Elisha was a powerful man of God who had a double portion of the spirit of his predecessor, one by the name of Elijah. When you read 2 Kings, you see that Elisha was someone who walked with God and God walked with him. Elisha is someone who spoke for God and God spoke through him. Elisha was a powerful man of faith who had already come to see what you have come to see over the past number of weeks. He had come to see God's power, and he had come to see God's provision, and he had come to see God's presence. But he'd already seen what I hope you see by the time this is all done. He had also come to see God's protection. And because of that, church, when faced with fearful situations, he could do what I'm hoping we're able to do. He learned how to fear less and less. Even with the situation that you're about to see in this text today. So let me take you into 2 Kings chapter number 6. Let me take you into this scene beginning at verse number 8. Here's what the Word of God has to say. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Once, when the king of Syria, your translation might say the king of Aram, was warring against Israel, that king took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God, that is the aforementioned Elisha, he sent word to the king of Israel. He said this, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians or the Arameans are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. The scene you have been taken into is a wartime scene. We're not told why there was a war between Syria or Aram and Israel. We're just told that there was. But in this war, Israel had the upper hand. But they had the upper hand not because of strategy, not because of the size of their army. But they had the upper hand in this scene because of the presence of the man of God named Elisha. It would play out like this, that the king of Aram or the king of Syria, they would think of some sort of strategy. We're going to send troops down here, or we're going to send the army over there. But then somehow, some way, Israel happened to find out the strategy before the strategy was unveiled. How did they find out the strategy? It was because of the presence of the man of God. God revealed to Elisha what the strategy was. Elisha, because he plays for the home team, went to the king of Israel and said, "Hey, they're going to be down here, don't go down there. They're going to be over there, don't go over there. If you want to survive, if you want to be protected, you need to send your troops over this way." And this happened, the text says, at more than once or twice. But the king of Syria or Aram, he's concerned about this. But he doesn't realize that God's revealed will was protecting Israel. Now let me bring you into this. I want you to know that God's revealed will has always offered protection for his people. We are his people today. That word of God that you have sitting in your lap, that word of God that you have resting in the palm of your hand, still offers God's people protection. There is protection in the obedience to God's word. There is protection when we just make the decision that we are going to do what God's word has revealed for us to do. But the king of Aram, Syria, doesn't know this. He thinks that he's got a spy in his ranks. And he starts questioning how Israel keeps finding out about his plans. Look at verse number 11. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, he's the one who's telling the king of Israel the words that you speak, even in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan. Once the king finds out how this is happening, his plan was then to send an army with horses and chariots down to Dothan. Verse 14, so he sent their horses, chariots, and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. If you're scratching your head and you're wondering and you're saying, I thought Elisha was just one man. Why would he be sending a whole army? You're asking the right question. One man who has shown to have such power in the king's mind, he demands that a whole army with chariots and horses surround the city of Dothan. Dothan is the city which might sound familiar to you. If you remember the last series that we did, Origin Story, in the book of Genesis, Dothan is the very city that the one called Joseph was in. When he went looking for his brothers, Dothan was the city where his brothers conspired and plotted against their brother. Dothan was the city where the brothers surrounded Joseph, took off of his coat, and threw him into a pit, selling him into slavery. This Dothan was that place where Joseph's brothers meant him harm, and Dothan is the place where the king of Syria, the king of Aram, meant Elisha harm as well. So there, this army comes. This would have been an intimidating scene. This would have been a fear-inducing scene to anyone involved. And it was, except for Elisha. What's the difference? Elisha had come to see God's power. He had come to see God's provision. He had come to see God's presence. And he knows something that no one else knows. He knows of God's protection. But he's got a servant who wakes up one morning and sees this intimidating scene. And in verse number 15, we read of it. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Any normal person that viewed a scene like this would be afraid. But church, it wasn't simply because of what the servant sees that he is so afraid. It's what or how he interprets what he sees. It's what he thinks about what he sees. So much so that he begins to ask a question. A question of, alas, master, what shall we do? In week number one of the series, I told you there's a question that we ask ourselves when the problem invades your life, when the situation comes into your life. There's a question that we ask ourselves, and if we don't have an answer to this question, the emotion that is invited is the emotion of fear. And the question, your personal question, is this: what am I going to do? When the problem knocks on your door and you're stuck in it and you have to face that problem and you see the problem, we often ask ourselves, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do now? What am I going to do with that news? What am I going to do about that situation? What am I going to do that's going to help me get through what has suddenly visited my life? And if you don't have any certainty about the answer to that question, chances are the emotion that you're going to feel is fear. Fear, because all you can see is a problem that you don't have a solution for. All you can see is an issue that you don't have a solution for. All you can see is the situation, and you don't have a solution. This servant is afraid because he doesn't know. All he sees is an army. All he sees are horses. All he sees are chariots surrounding he and Elisha. He knows who they are. They're not men of war. They're men of the word. What am I going to do? They're not fighting men. That they are men of the book. What are they going to do? It's two of them. It's a multitude that is surrounding them. The question is a normal question. It's a legitimate question. What am I going to do? Unfortunately, he doesn't have an answer. Now, you might say he's a man of faith, just like we are people of faith. That doesn't mean that we won't experience fear. And so we have to balance, am I going to believe here? Am I just going to have faith? Or am I going to allow the fear to take over my life? Told you last week, fear overcomes faith when the focus is on the problem. So how do I shift my focus? How is Elisha going to shift the focus of his servant from the problem to the solution? Well, I want you to see his answer. The question is asked, what shall we do? The answer is given in verse number 16. He said, do not be afraid. So here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to be afraid at what we see. Here's what we are going to do. We're going to realize that we have protection all around us, even though your eyes can't see it. So he says, don't be afraid. And here's the reason why. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha has come to know something, church. Something that's not revealed yet in the text. And what he knows is what I want us to know. Even though our eyes can't see it yet, Elisha has grown to embrace the words of King David, the words that David spoke in Psalm 3 and 6. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Elisha says, I see myself in that. I got thousands. I got a multitude. I've got an army all around me. But I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be intimidated by what I see. He has learned to embrace the words of Psalm 27 and 3, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, I will be confident. But where does the confidence come from? Where do I find the faith in the midst of my fear? Where do I find the confidence in the midst of the army that is surrounding me? Where do I find the confidence when I don't really know what to do? He can see something that you can't see and that the servant can't see. He's so confident in it. From a place of authenticity, he says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. If there is a saying that I would have for you to adopt beginning today, it's this. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. As Satan is shooting his fiery arrows and darts into your life, you can with confidence say, you might shoot them, but those who are with me are more than those who are with you. When the fearful situations come up and you don't know what to do, you have to understand you're not by yourself in this. You've got more on your team. Those who are with you are more than those who are with them. You've got more power behind you than the power that's coming toward you. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You think, and we think, we're surrounded by a problem. Anybody got a problem today? You think you're surrounded by that problem? With confidence, I want you to know, even though you're surrounded by a problem, you're surrounded by more of a solution. You just can't see it right now. But God is going to open our eyes here in a moment to the fact that you are surrounded by more. Elisha can see it. The servant can't see it. So here's what happens. Look at verse 17. So Elisha prayed. He prays a prayer that I don't know that I would pray right at the beginning. I might pray based upon what I see. Okay? I'm praying for deliverance, or I'm praying for the solution to readily make its way toward me. I'm praying for something like that, but Elisha doesn't. Elisha is praying for something else. He doesn't ask God for deliverance. Why would that be? He doesn't ask God for deliverance because he knows he's already been delivered. So I'm not going to ask God for something that I already have. He already has what he needs, so he doesn't ask God for it. If you already have the job of your dreams, you're not asking God for the job of your dreams because he's already given it to you. You're not asking God to heal you after you've already been healed because you already have it. He knows, I already have the deliverance, so I'm free to pray for something else. And what he prays for, he prays that his servant move from fearing to fearing less. But he's got to open his eyes in order to do it. 17b, O Lord, here's the prayer. Please open his eyes that he may see. If you want to change your prayer life, you want to change how you deal with fear, beginning today, pray this prayer. Lord, open my eyes. You're in the center of that which makes you afraid. You're in the center of the storm. You're in the center of the problem. You're in the eye of the hurricane. Pray the prayer, Lord, open my eyes. To what? Open my eyes to your power, which we have learned is present. Lord, open my eyes to your provision, which we have learned is present. Lord, open my eyes to your presence, which we know is there. And now, Lord, open my eyes to your protection. It's a prayer that God wants you to pray. I believe with all my heart it's a prayer that God wants you to pray, because after Elisha prays it, God immediately begins to answer. Here's what we read. Verse 17 again, and he saw. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So there was a human army all around Elisha. There were physical horses all around Elisha. Physical chariots all around Elisha. But what this text is telling you is that even though he's surrounded by the problem, he's surrounded by more than the problem. He's surrounded by a solution. Where you see physical and a physical army, he's surrounded by an angelic army. Where you see physical horses and physical chariots, he's surrounded by horses and chariots of a spiritual kind. He is surrounded by more. He's surrounded by a non-human army, an angelic army. It's an angelic army. Angels are often written in the Old Testament not just as messengers of God, but as an army for God. Not just those who speak for God, but those who fight for God. In Psalm 103, 20 and 21, we read these words, "Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of the Lord. Bless the Lord," it says, "all his hosts." The word host can also be translated as army. This is the army of God, the angelic spiritual army of God who do his will. We read chariots of fire. Fire is often seen as a manifestation of angels. In Psalm 104 and 4, he makes his messengers, winds, his ministers, his angels, a flaming fire. See, what the servant is seeing is exactly what the servant needs to see in order to move from fearing to fearing less. He sees a human army, so God shows him an angelic army because he's trying to move him to fearing less. He sees physical horses and chariots, but God shows him spiritual ones because he's moving him to fearing less. He sees what he needs to see. He sees and is intimidated by the number and the power of the physical army. But God says, "I have surrounded you with more of an army, with a more powerful army, a more numerous army to get him from fearing to fearing less." See, I hope you see the strategy. Because the strategy for the servant is the strategy for you. You want to fear less. You're not happy with fear. But to fear less, you have to know that you're surrounded by more. The idea of angels surrounding the people of God is not limited to what Elisha and his servant are seeing. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 32, the nation of Judah was being invaded by Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And King Hezekiah sees this intimidating scene. And he says these words to the people of Judah. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and the horde that is with him. For there," here's what he says, "there are more with us than are with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. We are to take confidence from God's word that there are more with us than are with them. We are to take confidence that even today we are surrounded by more. Well, how did the Lord do this? How did the Lord fight the battles here? We drop down to verse number 21. It says, "The Lord sent an angel who cut off all the mighty warriors and commanders and officers in the camp of the king of Assyria." They were surrounded by more. We're surrounded by more. God's people are still surrounded by more. How do I know it? Here's what David said in Psalm 34 and 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." If we're still the people of God, here's what this scripture means. We, right now, even as we speak, in the midst of your problem, you are surrounded by angels. Now, if that sounds like I got bad theology, if you got a problem with that, here's what I want you to do. Take it up with David. Because he's the one that said it. Don't send me an email today. Send it to David. Write it down, david@heaven.com. You can send it to him as soon as service is over and tell me when you get a reply. But here's what he's going to say to you. "I told you." And you've got to have confidence in this, that right now angels are surrounding those who fear him. So I got a better question for you, church. Much better than what are we going to do? Or how am I going to get through this? Or what am I going to do about this situation again? Here's the better question. The better question for us as the people of God is this. What do we have to fear? What are you so afraid of? Why is fear paralyzing your life? You're surrounded by more. More than you can even imagine. Because of your relationship, our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me bring you into this. Here's what the Bible has shown us. Because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, God is your Father, and He reigns above you. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Here's what the Bible tells us. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, He said that I am going to be with you till the end of the age. I'm going to be right there by your side. If you believe Jesus is by your side, say amen. Amen. Here's what it means. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in your life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And then here's what David tells you. If that weren't enough, angels of the Lord have encircled you. They encamp around you. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So put it all together. We've got God the Father reigning over us, watching over us. We've got Jesus, the Son of God, walking beside us. We've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. We've got angels of God all around us. Let me ask you the question again. What do you have to fear? We can fear less because we're surrounded by more. So even when that problem invades your life, the natural emotion of fear that we might feel, understand that fear is really futile. Because we're surrounded by more. We don't have to fear man. Man's often he's really the genesis of our fear, what he might do or what he might say. But we can embrace the words of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13 and 6. We can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Even when he talks about me, even when he doesn't approve of me, even when he persecutes me, I need not be afraid of man. It's what Paul was telling the Romans. Who is to condemn? Man tries to do that, but Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He's doing that right now while the angels surround us. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? If nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, then nothing. Man can't take away God from watching over me, Jesus from walking beside me, the Spirit from dwelling within me, and the angels for surrounding me. Man can't do that. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword, shall I be afraid of any of those things? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But here's the deal. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than warriors. We are more than overcomers through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's what it means. You can take confidence that you are surrounded by more. And in the next series, I know you'll hear these words. 1 John 4 and 4. Little children, you're from God. You've overcome them. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so, like the title of a great Joey Mustaine song, we are surrounded by more. And I want you to walk away in confidence with that. But here's how this situation ends in this text. After the eyes of the servant is opened, Elisha prays again that army that is surrounding him, that they be struck with blindness, likely a state of confusion. And so Elisha leads this army before the king of Israel.
and then he prays again. In verse 20, as soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, a term of respect, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down in wartime? It might seem acceptable for an army to strike down an invading army who had been captured. But this is an army that had not been captured by Israel. It's an army that had been captured by the armies of God. And so Elisha says, we got a different plan for them. God has a different plan for them. We're going to open their eyes so that they can see. I don't want them to be afraid in this instance. I want them to see a blessing from God. Elisha answered in verse 22, you shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you've taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Here's what I want you to do. Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. The story began with fear, but it ended with a blessing. It ended with God's people blessing the enemy. Fear is so paralyzing for us, and it keeps us so stuck, we often get distracted on what our purpose in life is. And your purpose and my purpose, our purpose as a church, is to be a blessing to the world. So when we fear less, what it actually allows us to do, it makes us better able to be used and utilized by God. So we want to fear less so that we can be a blessing. We want to fear less to bless. And we can when we realize we're surrounded by more. Fear that you feel, the paralyzing type, the distracting type, that's not from God. God didn't give you that. God gave you something else more powerful. He gave you more than fear. As Paul told Timothy, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God has surrounded you by more, given you the protection that you need to fear less. If there's one thing I want you to remember, it's this. You are surrounded by more. Amen. If there's something to obey from studying and hearing from God's word today, it's this. Focus on God's protection. Again, you're surrounded by more. Here's a way that we can start applying this lesson today. Simply ask God to open your eyes. To open your eyes to his power. Open your eyes to his provision. Open your eyes to his presence. And open your eyes to his protection. See? We're surrounded by more. Let's stand and sing.